Show, where you'll get advice and answers from the guy who leads the organic charge. Author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. It's time for the third hour of the show, brought to you by DirtDoctor.com, by the Organic Club of America, our membership area of the website, and the Texas Organic Research Center, which is the 501c3 not-for-profit portion. You can connect to the other two by just going to dirtdoctor.com and see what it's all about. One of the big things in Texas Organic Research Center is links to information, the data, research, backing up the kinds of things that we talk about, you know, all that stuff that the critics, the organophobes, say doesn't exist. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Let's see, there was one other thing before we jump back on the phones I wanted to tell you about. Also, our books, I probably ought to make a quick mention. We've got a new book. It's the Organic Lawn Care book. It's out there available in the typical places to buy books, along with my other 15 books on various subjects, and you can get all the information about all those publications right on the website on dirtdoctor.com. And the newsletter is free. I'll mention it one more time. Just sign up. That's all you have to do, and you'll get it on a weekly basis. Go to dirtdoctor.com, fill out the little quick form there. That's how to do it. To the phones. Ted in Sadler, Texas. Is that right, Ted?
Yes, sir. I have a 2-acre pond, and we had it drained about a year ago to do some dam work. And, of course, we've been really dry out here. So need about 10 more inches to fill this thing up. But, of course, all the vegetation has started popping up on the bank. And I don't want to, of course, use any chemicals. And I get about as close as I can to mow, but I got some stuff as high as a 6-year-old child out there. And I'm trying to decide if that's impacting my watershed and also going to impact things whenever it fills up.
Well, so you want to spray something that will kill those weeds now or get rid of them so that they are not covered up and become a mess when the water level comes back up?
That is correct.
Yeah, what you want to look at probably is a couple of things here, Ted. Just physical removal with some kind of a scythe, the type of a device or something, cut them down, drag the material out of there, throw it in the compost pile. That's one way to go. And if that's too much trouble or won't work for some reason, I would probably look at using the hydrogen peroxide, in this case, as a herbicide. Hydrogen peroxide works as a herbicide when it's used at about 10% of concentration. You know, the concentrated stuff you can buy from 25% up to about 33%, something like that. And if you use it at about a 10%, you have to be careful handling it, it'll burn you. But if you use it at about a 10% rate, it's a real good tool to use around water, because as it hits the water and goes into the water, it's good for the water quality and helps you with algae control in the water. The raw stuff sprayed on the foliage, though, will burn the foliage to a crisp. It works as a herbicide very well. It is difficult right now, relatively speaking, to buy the concentrated stuff other than just buying it direct from the manufacturers. You can do a web search and find it. We're trying to get the wholesale distribution industry to start handling it more and make it more easily available. But right now, It's a little bit hard to find is the only negative. But I'd recommend you look into it in your case.
Very good. Thank you so much.
I appreciate the call. Let's go to, wow, we had a full board and everybody vanished. Hope we don't have a line problem there. Garlic Mike is next up. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Howard.
What's up?
Well, sir, fixing to break ground on about 6,000 or so square feet of a little garlic patch.
Okay.
Out in the sandy soils of East Texas up in Winsboro near your home ground.
Oh, okay, good.
This land is pasture for two mules and a little donkey right now.
All right.
And they've picked it. They're like big goats. They've picked it down pretty good.
All right.
But I need to break this soil, make sure I don't have any grass, and I've got the complete salad bar of grasses out there that grow. I
mean, including Bermuda grass?
I believe there's going to be some. It has been 8 years unmanaged except by the hand of God.
Is this a flat area?
Yeah, part of it is flat and part of it is slightly just undulating, slightly hilly, but nothing of any extreme grade.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I would do if it were my property. When we have a small piece of land, like a landscape project, and I talked about this last week, you get a sod cutter and you set it on 2 inches and you cut out the sod, throw that into the compost pile, and that gets rid of the reproductive parts of the grasses because they're going to be up there in that two inches. When you've got acreage to deal with, a sod cutter is probably not that feasible, although you ought to look into it, I guess, what the cost of renting or having somebody to come out and do it would be. The next step, the next way to go in that area would be to take a tractor with a box scraper and have somebody that really is good at doing this, you know, set it to scrape off 2 to 3 inches, you know, over into a big pile to be the start of the compost pile. And that would get all of the rhizomes, you know, taken out that way. Then you till it. Only after you've scraped away the rhizomes, the reproductive part, would you till it.
Okay. That's because this is the start of what's going to be hopefully a large planting eventually. It's a progressive thing, of course. But,
right.
Yeah, if I do this now, next year I'm looking at probably an acre and a half if we get what we want out of this.
Okay.
I'm going to have 13, 14 different varieties growing.
Well, that's great. The other thing to consider, Mike, would be solarization, and you could set up it's going to take a lot longer to do it.
Right.
But putting plastic, you know, wet it all down, put the plastic over it, seal it really well on the edges, and after a few weeks, uncover it, wet it again, seal it up again, and during 100-degree weather, it'll kill everything there, including a lot of microbes, but you know, you can build that back pretty easily.
Going to definitely use a soil inoculant, the BioSI products, and build this up to where I want it. Because I've seen the results here in my little home patch. And
oh, good, good.
It's amazing what it does for the root structure of the garlic, for specifically.
You know what you might do, Mike? This is kind of selfish because it'll give us some research for Texas Organic Research Center. But you could do both. Do one area of solarization really well, you know, really do it right.
Okay.
And right. Do the other area of scraping off the 2 inches, and let's see the difference in the production.
Would it benefit me at all to put any vinegar product down before I covered it in plastic?
Well, that's a good point. We've kicked around in the past with people, and I haven't gotten the return feedback that well from them when I suggested it. But I've suggested trying molasses, dry molasses, vinegar, other things in there when you wet it down and then cover it, because it probably, in either case there, it probably would speed up the deterioration and the killing of the grasses and weeds.
And this is going to be a black plastic that I need to cover it with.
Well, now that's another good point, too. We've had people tell us that black and clear both work. I had a residential fellow that I met with years ago, and I'd been telling everybody to use clear plastic because you create kind of a greenhouse effect and, you know,
right,
theoretically more heat that way. But he used black plastic and he fried everything completely. It worked beautifully with black plastic. So we're
I
not
use, I use black plastic to build my curing and drying shed. It's nice and temporary and it's light tight. And I let the plastic lay on the ground after one season, and it thoroughly killed the Bermuda grass up against the fence over in that corner of the yard.
Oh, it works. It's just more trouble to do, and it takes, you know, a number of weeks for it to work.
Well, I won't receive the bulk of the sea garlic from the source until October, so I've got time to go play with this, actually. This will be a fun little project. Let me think about how I'm going to manage this, and got to find me a tractor driver, I guess.
Yeah, try it both ways, and let's see which way is the most efficient. I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Don't let biting, disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite, and they're safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummerResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best. But Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and a pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy,
controls your allergy sensitivities and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And there's an open line at 866-444-3478. For those of you that might be new listeners, and we know we have a lot of new listeners in here all the time who were listening to the last conversation and wondering why we didn't just spray Roundup and then go on with what we're going to do once the grasses and weeds have been killed. Well, Roundup, we've been spending quite a bit more time on lately than we used to because it turns out that it's far more toxic than anybody realized and leading to some really serious diseases, degenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and autism in kids and things like that. And the stuff has just been sprayed cavalierly, so far-reaching, you know, from streets and roads in cities and counties and states to large-scale agricultural situations that it's out there all over the place, and it doesn't break down. That's one of the biggest lies about it of all. It stays around a long time. It's being found all over the world in places where it's never been sprayed, and it's a big problem. So getting away from it, and 2,4-D has all of its issues that are as bad or worse, and some of the other things, too, we just don't recommend them. You need to use alternative techniques like we talk about, and that's why we talk about the angles that we recommend. Wayne and Garland is next up. Hey, Wayne.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
I called you about 3 or 4 weeks ago about an infestation of yellow wasps in my bushes around my house.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to kind of test spray them before, but I wanted to use a hose and sprayer, but I'm not sure what strength to mix the peppermint oil and the dishwashing liquid.
Well, the hose end sprayers are kind of tough, Wayne, and the reason is I just used one at home to put out beneficial nematodes, and that's about the best way to explain. I've sprayed the whole swimming pool area, and then I noticed that the hose end sprayer still had the same amount of material in it as when I started. In other words, it wasn't mixing. It wasn't doing it. And so I undid it and took the little straw that goes down into the bottom of the sprayer out, and it had a little black device plug on the end of it with a small hole in it. So I just took that completely off so the straw was just totally open. Put it back together, started spraying, and then it was sucking the nematodes out and putting them out, and I had to go back and spray the same area again because I didn't put out anything but water. So, and even if you have all taken the strainers and the filters and the plugs like I did out of your hose-end sprayer, you're still at the mercy of that piece of plastic to be mixing it properly for you. So it's a lot better when you need to spray something precisely like you're talking about, a pesticide, you know, an organic pesticide to take out some dangerous wasps or whatever the project is. You need to have a sprayer that you know that what's coming out of that nozzle is exactly what you mixed. And that means a pump-up sprayer or a backpack sprayer or what's called a trombone sprayer, which some of the nurseries, they used to have them in stock a lot better than they do now. It's got a rubber hose with a weight on it that you put over in a five-gallon bucket of your mixture. And then the sprayer is a copper device that pumps kind of like a pump shotgun, and it sprays out 20 or 30 feet. It'd be terrific for what you need to hit the wasp nests. Uh-huh. It's called a trombone sprayer. But no matter what you use, it needs to be something where you know what's coming out that nozzle. With a hose end sprayer, Wayne, you just don't know.
Okay.
So I can't give you a formula because all the hose end sprayers are different about how they mix.
Okay. Once I do get them under control, I bought some peppermint plants and was thinking put them in a big pot and set them in certain spots in the bushes. You think that would help?
No, well, it'd probably be nice to grow the peppermint, but I don't think it'll help you with the wasps at all. Are you allergic to wasp stings? Is that part of the issue?
No, I've got a 3-year-old grandson that loves to play out near those bushes.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you've heard me say this before, but when wasps are foraging, unless you got one caught in your clothing, they're not going to be aggressive and sting you. But when you get near their nests and bump into them, like I used to do when I was a kid, they will tear you up. So that is something that you have to be careful about. But just get you a good sprayer so that you know. And if you go to the stores that sell, what's the name of it, EcoSmart products, they make a wasp sprayer that's in an aerosol can, and it's a non-toxic deal the way they've set it up, and it's an essential oil. And it'll spray a real strong stream, and that would work for you, too.
EcoSmart. EcoSmart.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there's a little place in downtown Garland I think might have that.
Well, the big box stores even have that line.
Oh, okay.
Go to the independents first. We want to support them, and then if that doesn't work, you can find it at the other stores.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Wayne.
You have a good day.
You too. And it's open line at 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The website is dirtdoctor.com. The newsletter's free. All you have to do is fill out the form that's right there on the homepage. If you want to join the members part of our website, it's called the Organic Club of America. You get videos and a bunch of things that are only available in the members area. And some seminars that are there and a bunch of things. Sign up and get a free copy of one of my books is one of the things you can get as well. 866-444-3478. I'll be right back.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, Howard, back with you. And let's see, we're going to go to King of Prussia next and talk to Carol. Hello, Carol.
Hi.
What's up?
I had a question. I have poison ivy in the yard, and I had tried to dig it out, and it go down about 8 inches, and the root goes across, then it'll come up again someplace. And I want to know, other than putting Roundup or something, poisons, I want to know any other way I could get rid of it.
Well, Roundup doesn't work very well on poison ivy anyway, plus you just contaminate yourself in the property. I tell you what I recommend to you, Carol, and it's not too far from you. I think he's in Pennsylvania. I had a guest on the show a few weeks ago that is in the business of coming out and removing poison ivy. His name is Umar Micah, and his website is it's kind of an interesting website. It's idontwantpoisonivy.com, and he's got some really good information on his website, even if you don't end up working with him about how to get rid of it. And physical removal is really the way to go, believe it or not. You have to be very careful about doing it so you don't give yourself a case of the stuff.
Yeah, I'm very allergic to it.
Well, you might want to go to his website. It gives you a lot of good tips on how to do it, how to clothe, if you do it yourself, clothe yourself and protect yourself. And if you hire somebody to do it, it gives good information on the techniques to use that really do work. And then if you have a bad enough situation, and this goes for anybody listening, he actually contracts, comes to your property, and takes the stuff out for you.
Uh-huh, great. Yeah, well, I was listening to your talking about Roundup, and my son used to use it, and I guess it's still some out here in the soil, but I didn't want to put poisons out. We have cats here in the house, and you know, we have a lot of birds around. I don't know, but I'm not into poisons that much.
Well, good for you. They've got a lot of problems related to them. We think that our main reason to go with the natural organic program is that it works better, but the secondary thing, and it's primary for a lot of people, is that the toxic chemicals are just that. They're very, very toxic to people, and it's starting to show up in the research more and more about how it's related directly to cancer and various degenerative diseases and even autism in children.
Well, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 79, but years ago they used to spray the lawns, and it affected people who walk through the lawns, the poison that the green, I don't know what the different companies are. My neighbor has a lawn doctor.
Yeah.
And these people back in the early 70s, I guess, were affected by the chemicals that people were spraying, professionals.
Yep. It's been a problem. Golf course superintendents, farmers, and all kinds of people that are around it all the time. More and more data is piling up about the dangers. Well, Carol, check out that website, and maybe Micah can help you out, if not in person, with his website.
Okay, thank you. I'll call you again next week with another question.
Well, you can ask me now if you want.
Not really. I wanted to call you next week. I'd like to listen every week if I can.
Okay, no problem.
I can always do that.
Look forward to talking to you.
Thank you.
And we've got an open line at 866-444-3478. And by the way, those of you with cats, like Carol, or if you have dogs, this is one of the things that Bob Webster talks about when a lot. He visits with a vet friend of his that has a show after his on Sundays, I think, and they talk about getting away from pesticides and all that. And this vet has a tremendous amount of data from people that he's worked with through the years, and he said that it's a pretty clear-cut deal. Whenever he has a customer, a client, come in with a dog that has serious problems and it turns out to be cancers of various kinds, it's inevitable almost that almost across the board that the dogs have been and cats have been running around with their little bare paws in grass that's been treated with 2,4-D and various other chemicals, and it led to the cancer. It's there's a very definite relationship there, so another reason for you to get away from the stuff. Ray in Bailey, Texas is next up. Hey, Ray.
Hello, Garrett.
What's up?
Long-time listener, second-time caller.
Thank you.
Tell me about a friendly way to get rid of bees, honeybees.
Well, what do you got? You got a swarm, or you got a hive in a tree? What do you got? What are you dealing with?
I got a hive in the wall of my house.
Uh-oh. That's a tough one. You need to get the professionals to come out and handle it for you. If you try to do it yourself, you're going to get stung, or you're going to kill them all, and they're going to be left in the wall, and you've got to have a stinky mess on your hands, Ray. So you really need to get a hold of beekeepers. You can go through the county extension and get some names of some people to call. You know, the beekeepers that we talk about and deal with, you know, you can find them on our websites. Texas Honeybee Gill, you know, Brandon Susan Pollard. You can call them for some help or get some advice on somebody else to call and handle it. But it's something where you need to get a professional beekeeper involved to deal with it.
We've had people here in this area last year, year before last, that called professionals, and they come out there and they kill the bees.
Well,
I don't want to kill a bee.
No, you don't want to kill them for two reasons. Killing the bees is one thing, but leaving them in the wall dead is a big, big problem. So check with Brandon and Susan and with some other beekeepers and ask them how they would handle it and find somebody that will deal with it the way you need it done.
Okay, I can go to the county extension agent here in Fannin County and get some pointers on it, right?
They should be able to give you some names of some people to contact, yes. And you might talk to the wildlife management people at the county level or whatever, and just get some names and interview them quickly over the phone and find somebody that sounds like they're going at it the right way and can help you.
Okay, Howard.
Good luck. That's a problem.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Peggy in Irving is next. What's up, Peggy?
Hi. I have wasps every year, but they're in the back corner of my back porch, and they don't bother me, and I don't bother them.
There you go.
Well, my back door doesn't have a screen, and the door frame right above the door, you know, they're making a wasp. I can't even open. They're making a nest, and I can't even open my back door. I don't want to kill them. Is there anything I can do?
Well, you can do what Malcolm Beck used to recommend and do himself. You can actually hit them with water, knock them off, and pull the nest off and move it to a new location and tack it back up, and they'll actually go back to the nest. I'm not brave enough to do that myself.
Yeah.
But Malcolm did it. He did it several times. The only other thing you can do is knock them off with water, and then, you know, that will knock them off. And then while they're down and wet, you can take the nest off of there, and hopefully they'll just rebuild it somewhere else. But
they're really getting started. I mean, they really don't have much of a nest up there yet.
Okay. Well, just knocking them off and scraping it off with a broom and knocking it off of there, they'll go set up somewhere else, and you probably won't hurt them or get stung that way.
Promise.
I don't promise anything when it comes to wasps, but that's probably what I would do. I'd just get a long broom, knock them off, run, and then hopefully they'll go set up shop somewhere where they'll be a beneficial, helpful insect, but won't be there on the door to get knocked off. You'd get stung there because every time the door hits the nest, they would feel threatened, and they're going to come right to you as the one that's threatening it.
Yes.
Threatening them.
Yes. Also, I have this, it looks like a big, long bumblebee. And in like, the wings are, you can look right through them, you know. And in the back, he's black, or she, with white stripes. And then in the front, it's more like a rust color.
Flying around kind of low off the ground.
Yeah, he's like have ivy out there.
Well, that is a beneficial wasp called a cicada killer. And the cicada killer kills cicadas, and they actually paralyze them. They don't kill them totally. And then they fly back with them and drag them back, kind of a combination of the two, because the cicadas are bigger than the wasp in most cases. But what they do is they take the cicadas back into the hole, down into the ground to their young, and feed it to their young.
Okay, so he's in the ground there.
Yeah, the cicada killer's nest is in the ground. They are not aggressive. They won't sting you unless you grab one, so don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I had to pull a lot of monkey grass because it had grown into the ivy, and I was pulling it all out. And he just sat there and watched me all day long. I mean, he didn't come near me or anything.
No, they're not aggressive. They will be if you're messing around with the entrance to the nest and they're worried that you're threatening their young. They'll probably buzz you. But I have never had a report of anybody being stung by one of them.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much.
I appreciate the call. Yeah, they're good for the biological activity in the soil and the general balance of nature in the garden and all that, and they're interesting to look at. Even if you grabbed one and held it in your hand, if it was a male, you still would be all right. They don't have a stinger. Only the females have stingers. Bud in Irving is next up. Hey, Bud.
How you doing? How are you hitting them?
Well, some good, some bad. You know how it is.
When did you play early in the morning? In this heat or what?
No, we usually play in the blazing hot sun in the afternoon. We're not very smart. Usually it's
my God.
It's conflicts in the morning, you know.
Oh, God. Anyway, I was calling about, I want to plant a second crop of cucumbers.
Okay.
What's your opinion?
It's time to do it. Time to plant the fall garden right now. In fact, I was going to do that this week myself. some more squash, cucumbers, right. You know, just kind of a new round of everything.
Have you ever heard of Armenian cucumbers?
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're the best cucumbers ever. That's what I'm going to get to see from Missouri, from that seed catalog place.
Armenian cucumbers, I recommend highly, you bet.
They're unbelievable, yeah. So that's what I'm going to do. That's why I called.
All right, get it going.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to you, bud. Yeah, it's if you have indeterminate tomatoes, you can train them, prune them, fix them up if they look okay, and carry them right into the fall. If you do determinate tomatoes, you need to plant the fall ones, and it's time. In fact, you're even running a little bit late, and you can plant a lot of other things for that fall garden right now. Great time to do it. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Website's dirtdoctor.com.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
We all know that humans need probiotics, but your dog needs probiotics too. Some dogs have chronic digestive issues just like humans. Probiotics will aid digestion and help improve overall immune health. Hi, I'm Gail Pruitt, certified nutritionist and author of the Doggone Good Cookbook. I do nutritional research for both humans and canines, focusing primarily on digestive issues. So whether your dog has chronic digestive issues or just the occasional upset, I recommend that you give your dog a daily probiotic to balance your dog's gut flora. You know, eating right and taking the right supplements are so important for your good health and for your best friends. And the best probiotics I've found is Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. So make sure the nutrients you and your dog eat are providing the maximum benefits. And always share your Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Your dog will love you for it.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And if you haven't already, you ought to go to Facebook and check out all the activity there, a lot of conversation about some of the things we've been talking about today. Just simply go to facebook.com/TheDirtDoctor. There's a picture there, a selfie of me, Judy, Logan, and Bo. We were actually in Las Vegas where that picture was taken. So that's how you know you're at the right Facebook page. There's two of them there. The one of me in the dark shirt with Tater is the one you have to do the other one. So the one with the information is at facebook.com/TheDirtDoctor. And once again, if you want the information that we send out in a newsletter every week, just fill out the form on DirtDoctor.com. It's the simplest way to do it, and then we'll send you the newsletter. We don't do one in print. We just do the one that is electronic. So fill out the form on DirtDoctor.com. You'll get it on a weekly basis free of charge. Robert in Sandy Shores next up. Hello, Robert.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good.
I've got some sand spurs in my yard and been there for a couple of years, and I'm not heading like getting rid of them. Is there something I can do to get rid of those things?
Yeah, the grass burrs or sand spurs or whatever you want to call them are a classic indicator weed, Robert, that that are saying that your soil is lousy. Sandy, okay. Probably, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. It's dry, and I don't really think it's in a spot where I don't really take care of it. Yeah. It's kind of off to the side.
Well, a couple of things that you can do. How large an area are we talking about dealing with?
It's probably 30 by 30, maybe bigger than that.
Okay, no, good. Small area would be easy to fix. First thing I'd recommend that you do is go to one of the garden centers that sells some organic products and get a bag of dry humate.
Okay.
Dry humate is that's a kind of a generic term. It's low-grade lignite coal is what most of those products are. And put it out real heavily. Put it out at about 10 pounds, 10 to 15 pounds per 1,000 square feet. That's heavier than we normally would recommend. And then get some lava sand. It comes in bags at the nurseries and garden centers that sell organic products. Put it out at about 150 pounds per acre, per 1,000 square feet.
Okay.
And if you work it into the soil somehow, aerate first and put it out while the holes are open, it's best. But if you just put it on the surface of the soil, it'll take care of it. What you have to do to get rid of grass burrs is to build up the level of organic matter in the soil. The carbon in the soil is the key. Once humic acid is available in the soil, the weed seed will be there and won't germinate. And the quickest way to build humic acid is with one of those humate products. BioSI has a line of all kinds of microbe products, but some of their products contain liquid humate in them, and that would help you as an additional thing to do as well.
Okay.
But building the carbon, that's the key. You could have beneficial effects with compost, dry molasses, organic fertilizers, all the things that I talk about. But the dry humate and then liquid humate and lava sand will do it better than anything.
Okay, dry humate and lava sand.
Right.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All righty. Good luck. Okay. Pretty common question that we deal with there. Let's go to Little Elm and talk to Charlie. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Harold. We've got a big post oak that we poured a driveway halfway around it, and we're losing a lot of leaves from the top, and I'm just concerned that, you know, we're going to eventually lose the tree. Wondering if that kind of fits, that description kind of fits what's happening and your estimation, and what, if anything, can we do to save it?
Yeah, when you've done physical damage to the root system like you've done, that definitely impacts the tree. Let me ask you this. Did you put a sprinkler system in when you did the new work?
No. No, okay. We didn't. We were aware that, you know, we might have some problems with that. It's a big tree and, you know, old tree, and I'm aware they're pretty sensitive. But we just needed to put this driveway approach in. Didn't put any sprinkler system in. And
you left the grade at the existing grade?
Yeah, we didn't go down very far at all, just enough to, you know, lay some steel and
Okay. Two things. One is make sure you didn't put any new soil on the area right around the trunk of the tree or anywhere for that matter. Try to get everything except for the driveway back down to the existing grade that was there before you started. And then the second thing, we want to do a modified version of the sick tree treatment. When you're dealing with post oaks, they don't like people, as you know. They're very sensitive trees, and that's why you're having this problem. But I want you to do a sick tree treatment, which is to aerate the land, not just in around the trunk, but on the other side of the driveway and the rest of the property, physical aerate, and then put down all the amendments that we recommend for bed preparation, compost, rock powders, the sugar, dry molasses, and cornmeal, and then spray the ground, the trunk of the tree, the foliage, and everything with Garrett juice with hydrogen peroxide added to it at about, in this case, only about 8 ounces of grocery store 3% stuff per gallon of spray.
Okay.
And if that won't bring it back to feeling good, nothing will.
Okay.
Good luck, Charlie. Keep me posted.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody out there. This is a great day. A lot of good calls flowing in, and had a lot of fun. Go to dirtdoctor.com for your questions this week. If you have a question, you can send it to us at info@dirtdoctor.com. Join the Organic Club of America to get all those benefits, free newsletter, sign up on the homepage, and enjoy your gardens. And don't forget to feed the birds.